matter what's going on in the service, if he's dealing with you, that's more important to me than anything else. If you're here tonight and you're saved and God's dealing with you, I would also encourage you, please, do not hesitate to follow the will of God. This is his service. I say these things in beginning of service, not to be in out of habit, but just out of just to help remind us, you know, we're here to serve God. I hope and pray you didn't come just to give me an opportunity to stand as a young preacher. I hope you came to worship God tonight, to lift him up. That's why I'm here, to lift up God. And I take this opportunity very, very serious. And again, I am very thankful for it. And I do ask an interest in your prayers. You know, I'm very aware of my inabilities. And I know I need God as I stand here tonight. And I do ask an interest in your prayers. Many years ago, when I first started to preach, I preached about a couple messages. And I wasn't raised in this way, and I didn't understand a lot. I still don't understand a whole lot, but I tried to stand one time, and I thought I had this message. You know, it was a good one. In my mind, it was a good one. If I could have preached it in a way that I thought it was going to sound, I could have probably saved the Pope. But when I stood up there that evening, and actually it was a morning, Sunday morning, and I stood and I didn't have the Lord with me. I didn't understand what was happening that morning, and I was saved as a young age at 7 years old. I knew I was saved, what I had experienced, but standing behind that pulpit without the Lord, I was doubting that salvation. I was doubting the fact that I was even called to preach. It was the scariest experience of my life. I've been in some pretty scary situations, but standing behind the pulpit without God was by far the worst thing that I have ever experienced, and I learned my lesson really quick that I need the Lord, not just in preaching, but every aspect of my life. And that's a little bit what we're going to talk about tonight. Our reading is going to be coming out of 1 Kings chapter 18. There's nothing new that you're going to hear tonight. Probably most likely something that you've heard many times, but all we can do is follow the Lord and trust in him and his word. I heard something today that's stuck with me, and I don't know if I had actually heard it in this way, but maybe it was this weekend. But where, you don't have to turn to this, but this is in Job, where God was speaking to Job. And I liked it. I really, you know, and for me, this is the way I preach. When I go to the jail, I don't have a lot of time with these men and these women. So when I go to the jail, I'm pretty straightforward. I don't sugarcoat a lot. I tell them like it is, and that's just the style of preaching that God's called me to do. And I love when I heard this weekend, and Job, it says, "Gird up your loins like a man, for I will demand thee, and answer thou me." You know, God told Job that twice. And I love the fact that he was straightforward with Job. You know, we'll look at that, if it be the Lord's will, we'll look at that in a minute. But he didn't pull no punches with Job. He was very straightforward and to the point. And that's what I'm asking the Lord to help us with this evening, to present this in a way that would be pleasing to him and to the point. In 1 Kings chapter 18, starting with verse 17, it says, "And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he said, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and my father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto the Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which did eat at Jezebel's table. And Ahab sent unto the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto the Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If thou be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. And Elijah said, Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal hath 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock of themselves, and cut it into pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock of yourselves and dress it first. For ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under it. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning to evening, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them, saying, cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after that their manner with knives and lancets, till blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass in the midday, when it had passed, they prophesied unto the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any answer nor any regard. I'm going to stop there for just for a little bit there in verse 29. And my thought comes from verse 24 tonight. And as we get into the thought that the Lord has put on our heart, in my life, I have been given many opportunities. And the majority of those opportunities, I have tried to handle myself. I have tried to use the experiences of my life and what I considered knowledge of my own gathering to handle these situations. And the majority of those situations, those in places that I found myself in when I tried to handle it myself, never ended up the way that I was hoping it would. It took many years of struggle and heartache to finally figure out this guy standing up here before you don't do life very well. I usually mess it up. It always starts out with good intentions. It starts out trying to do the best that I can, and within me desiring to handle the situation and for it to have a positive outcome. Like I said, I wasn't raised this way. I've been in the Missionary Baptist Church since the early 2000s. So there was a lot of things that I grew up hearing, a lot of things that I grew up just through the community that I was in and the people that I was around. You pick up things and you traits and habits and things of this nature that aren't always the best. And in the life that I was living and the life that I chose to live for a long time after I was saved, I had to relearn a lot of things. I had to learn to look and trust upon God. And tonight, the thought that's on my heart comes from verse 24. And he says, call upon the name of your gods. And I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And that's the thought that we'd have on our heart tonight, is let him be God. It's a simple thought. It's one that many of us have probably heard before, preached on many times. But it's a simple thought that's right. There's not many things in this world that I can trust. There's not many things in this world that, you know, that I would fully trust in telling somebody that I absolutely knew would work out, if that makes sense. But when I tell somebody to trust in the Lord, I fully believe it. When I tell somebody to, you know, they want to answer, they, you know, for a long time, I would go to Brother Ron and I would ask him questions on certain situations or questions in the Bible of understanding, and he would say, pray about it. And that would frustrate me. I wanted an answer. I wanted to know what I was looking for, but it wasn't for him to tell me. I've had other men of the faith tell me the same thing. I'd go to them and ask them a question and sincerely desiring an answer from them. And they would be like, pray about it. Well, I knew that. Well, then why ain't you doing it? God's fully capable of directing us and helping us understand. Now, there are some things where we might have to put forth some effort to find what God's will is. And that's one of the things they talked about this weekend at the Eagle Ridge was being in God's will and understanding what God's will is. But as we go back and look at this again in the thought that where God is directing us, and let him be God. We all know how this event took place here when Elijah, reading on in verse 30 there, how that he took built an altar and took the bullock and he laid it there on the altar, and they took, I believe it is, a total of 12 barrels of water and filled the trenches around the altar and poured it on, soaked, saturated the altar completely. And Elijah called upon the Lord, and the Lord burnt the sacrifice up completely. I look at the example of in the New Testament when we see the disciples on the ocean, and they're out on the sea and they're trying to battle the waves, and the Master Jesus, he's asleep at the bottom of the ship. We see evidence there of them trying to handle it themselves. They see them trying to fight the storm that they're in. When all they had to do was wake him up when they realized that there was a storm coming. If they would have had him recognize the situation that was before him. But here's the thing that we face as humans. This was a situation. They were fishermen. They were in the boat. They were on the sea. They had been on the sea the majority of their life. They had a lot of experience, right? They were fishermen. They knew how to handle a small storm. A lot of times when we handle those problems, we find ourselves making greater, bigger problems. We've been in this situation before. We can handle it. We know what we're doing. We've got this experience, and we try to handle it ourselves. We don't pray about it. We just go about our business, and before we know it, the storm's bigger than we can handle. The problems that are before us are bigger than we can handle. And yet we still try to row. We still try to fight and handle it. We see the evidence there that the disciples, the boat was starting to fill up with water before they ever went and woke up Jesus. We do the same thing. Trusting in our own understanding. In Isaiah, it tells us about our understanding. It tells us in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8, it says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, and so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Simple, basic understanding that God is in control of all things. I mentioned Job earlier. If you go back to Job there in the last part of Job, you'll see where God asked Job some questions. In verse 38, the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is it that darkeneth the counsel by the words without knowledge? Gird up thy loins like a man, for I will demand thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measure thereon, if thou knowest? Or who has stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut up the seas with doors, when it brake forth as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the clouds the garment thereof, and the thick darkness of the swaddling for it, and break up for a decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, Hereunto shalt thou come, but no further. And here shall the proud waves be stayed." And he continues on, and he just questions, where was you, Job? How do you understand these things? God has put things before us, before me. I don't know how they're going to work out. But I continually see God working. I continually see Him opening doors that I had no idea that He could even open. I didn't even realize they existed. And it just continues. It's like... I'm trying to be vague in certain things here tonight, and I apologize about that, but I need your prayers. God has opened a door for me to be able to do a work that's been on my heart for a long time. And sometimes when I see the mountain of things that need to be done before I'm able to do this, it seems overwhelming sometimes. It's like, how is this going to work out? I don't know, but every time that I just stop back, I step back and I let God be God. I let Him be God and let Him do what He does. He exceeds my expectation every single time. I hope, you know, I don't want to hide, my lack of faith sometimes for my children. I want them to see the struggle. I want them to see that, yeah, there's times where I wonder, how's this going to work out? There's times where I'm kind of nervous or a little bit scared sometimes. And there, in the past, there's been moments in my life where God has called me to do something, and I chickened out. It was right before me. And I understand now is whenever the Israelites left Egypt, they didn't go the easy route. I understand why they went to the wilderness. Because it says in the scriptures that if they had went the easy route, they'd have got to a place and realized they and faced the enemy, they wanted to go back to Egypt. And we see the evidence of that when they got to the sea. Oh, you brought us here to die. They crossed the sea. It wasn't good enough. You brought them out in the wilderness. They run out of water, and you brought us out here to die. And it took 40 years for them to finally get to a place where they were in a place to be able to cross the Jordan and go and take the land of Canaan and trust the Lord. It's taken years for me to get to the place where, and I'm still in that process of trusting the Lord, and I get to sit back and just let God be God, and He opens every door that needs to be opened. There are times in the past where I have been like the prophets of Baal, where I wanted to do it. I wanted to go out and make things happen. I wanted to put forth an effort to, and a lot of times I acted sometimes a lot like Baal. I screamed and hollered and tried to get my way, and nothing ever happened. I trusted in knowledge of man. I trusted in my own understanding, and it never got me anywhere. The longer that I stop and let God be God, those situations work out. And I want you to understand, you know, even as you might not be called to preach, you might not have a job that in the church, but you can always pray. You can always trust in Him. And there's situations in your life where you're going to find yourself at some point in time where you need direction. You need an answer. You need, and you're going to go to people, and they're going to give you advice. You're going to, and they might not tell you to pray. They might try to tell you experiences that they had and how they handled it. I would still encourage you to pray. I would still encourage you, no matter where you find yourself, that you would let God be God. We see in Isaiah where the Israelites, they trusted in vanity as well. They trusted in the things that of the world. We got an example of Solomon where he went out and applied these things of the world to his life to get experience to see what it was about. And he said it was all vanity. We find ourselves in these situations, and we're never, you know, we're not always going to make the right decisions. We're gonna fall from time to time, but I'm thankful. Just like I mentioned earlier, I'm thankful for the church that God give us a place that we can come and worship Him and lift up His name, a place that we can come and turn the things of the world off, a place that we can come and just for a little bit of time just sit in His presence and be able just to let go of everything. How precious that is. I'm also thankful for His Word that He give us, that we can open up and we can see example after example of people that struggled and people that that were just like us. A lot of times we read about the Israelites, we read about the situations that they found themselves turning back to Baal. It's not, we're only one choice away from being in the same shape. You look at America right now and you can see a lot of the same situations. I'm thankful that He gives us His Word that we can open and we can understand and see when we find ourselves in these situations and God reveals it to us in the Scriptures that we can take it. A self-evaluation of our life and look and see where we need to remove the things of this world, the vanities that we've been trusting in, and to step back and to trust in the Lord. In Psalms 118, the writer here gives us some encouragement that I want to leave with you tonight. I know this message might seem a little bit scattered, but it's just, no matter what we face in this life, if we'll just trust God and let Him be God and let Him do what He does, we'll see things happen that we've never seen before. I will give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that the mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that His mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side, and I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. It is better to trust the Lord than to put your confidence in princes. All the nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compassed me like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fail, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and a song, and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in tabernacles of the righteous, but the right hand of the Lord doth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted, and the right hand of the Lord doth valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastised me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open me the gates of righteousness, and I will go into them. I will praise them. I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteousness shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the head stone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send thou now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which shall show us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, and I will exalt thee. O God, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. If I couldn't leave you with anything tonight, my heart's desire is that you would let God be God, and that you would exalt him, and you would trust in him. Things that I see in our country disturb me. In our lifetime, I've never seen anything like it. I don't know what the future holds for our country. But you know, as I'm thankful for our country. I am. I'm thankful that we have a country that allows us to worship without being persecuted. But I don't know how much longer that's going to last. I believe for many years that we put God first in our lives for many years. But somewhere along the way, we went from putting God first to putting country first. I know it's something that we have to fight for and stand for and protect. But God should become before anything else. He gives us a commandment to love him with all of our heart, our mind, and soul. That doesn't leave room for anything else. It doesn't leave room for our country. It doesn't leave room for our families. I will clarify that in just a second. But when we love God first, with all of our heart, our mind, and soul, he'll give us the proper amount of love and the perspective that it needs to be in for our family, for our country, and for his work. But we got to put him first. We got to quit trusting in our own understanding. We say we have faith, but we want to understand how everything works. The Lord showed me a while back, and I share this every time I get a chance. For me, it's simple. But it took a long time for me to actually grasp this understanding. That faith is not understanding. Faith is actually the opposite of understanding. I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't understand how he does it. It's not for me to know. If I was to know, where would the faith be? But I know God's real. I haven't seen a fire come from heaven and burn up an altar with saturated with water. But I felt a broken heart be made new. I've seen him take situations that I thought were impossible to be worked out and work them out to such a degree that it was undeniably God. You just can't make these things up. You can't, there's the greatest writers in Hollywood could not write the things that God has done. And he's wanting to do that for every one of us. He's wanting to show you who he really is, if you'll just let him. Let him be God. You know, that's when I finally realized and quit. And it's like, I'm so thankful, you know, when even after being preaching and I'm still learning and I'm still catching on to things, and the Lord just takes scriptures and just renews them. I can read things and then maybe I won't forget it, but I haven't looked at it in a while. And then I'll go to a youth retreat and they'll open the Word and they'll read it, and the Lord just blesses my heart with an understanding of the Scripture. I can go to the jail and sit there and listen to the other preacher that comes and preaches with us and hear the gospel preached, and it just refreshes my soul, and that he just can open his Word and make it alive to me. As it is the living Word of God. And I can understand that the scriptures, as I mentioned earlier today, is if any man come after me and deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. As I heard that scripture today, it just strengthen within me the fact that if I'll just trust God, everything will work out. Everything I'm looking for, the life that he wants me to have, is in the fact that I just trust him, not my own understanding. I'm thankful today that I have a God that is real. God that loved me so much that he sent the best thing that he had just for me. He created me just the way that I am and wanted a relationship with me and wants a relationship with you and wants to show you who he is. I've told people the work that the Lord has put me in, and he's continually opening doors that just amaze me. So I've just been telling people, I just sit back and watch him work. I pray and ask to be used, and I just let him do what he does. It's amazing. It's greater than, I wish there was words that I'm not really good at articulating things I would like, how my heart feels. But I promise you, if you'll just put your trust in God and let him be God, you can just sit back and hold on. I'm not talking about just giving him lip service. I'm talking about sitting back and letting him have it. Let him control it. If he tells you to go a direction, go in it. If he tells you to do something, do it. We all know he's already working on the other end. Is there anything on anybody's hearts this evening? This is what the Lord's got. That's all I had. Just let God be God. We trusted in him at the moment of salvation. the one place, the one situation that we were absolutely, totally hopeless. There was no hope for us whatsoever. We were bound for a devil's hell. The only hope we had was in Jesus. We trusted in him then. Why not let him have the rest of it? Why not let him handle the rest of the problems we got? He handled that. He can handle those. All hearts and minds free. Anything on anybody's hearts this evening?